Good morning and welcome. Before I start, I must thank Jake Weinman for offering me this amazing platform of shareenjoyment.com and Mitch Green for the meticulous editing of every audio so that you don't hear my mistakes. Parshas Matos and Maaseh. Parshas Maaseh is close to my heart because it discusses the many travels of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. And I too have lived in a lot of places. Moving often might feel like plan B to us, but it's always Hashem's plan A. One proof of that for me, of moving being Hashem's plan, not mine, is that I ended up living in the place I liked the least for 20 years, and only 10 months in the place I liked the most. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but it was Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is special even when it's hard. Back to Parshas Maaseh. I started off looking for the famous pasuk, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, Al Pi Hashem Yisa'u, all through Parshas Maaseh. You're probably smiling because you already know the pasuk is in Bahaloscha, Perek Tes Pasuk Chav Gimel. The translation is, according to Hashem they will camp, and according to Hashem they will travel. And how did they know what the Ratzon of Hashem was? When the Anane HaKavod rose from above the Mishkan, it was time to unpitch the tents and move on. And when the Anane HaKavod descended upon the Mishkan, they stopped and set up camp. For those of you who know the latest trend, this was not glamping. This was the real thing, pitching tents for large families, making sure the children were okay, the animals had what they needed. It wasn't easy. But in many shuls, the masa'os, the travels in Parshas Maaseh, are read with, not the regular trop, a special niggun. Now, if traveling to 42 different places was so difficult, why do we lane using a sweet melody for the masa'os? The Ramban says that even in the Midbar, Hashem was kind to them. There was chesed and there were nisim. First of all, Rashi tells us they could have spent 12 hours in one place and 12 months in the next place, but they got to stay in one place for 19 years. It was also a chesed. And the Ramban explains further, throughout the entire 40 years traveling in the hot desert, they were fully protected from the heat of the sun by the Anane HaKavod above them, and from snakes and scorpions by the Anane HaKavod beneath them. There were 7 Anane HaKavod in all. The Amud HaEsh, the pillar of fire, led them at night. For food, they had the man. For water, they had the Bar Miriam, and many, many other miracles. We sing because although Hashem had to cleanse us from Chet HaMeraglim, within this cleansing, there was also Hashem's deep caring for his children. Singing doesn't mean there isn't hardship. It means you realize that Hashem is with you in the hardship. In 2007, in a shiur about Mechiras Yosef, I called this kind of chesed from Hashem perfumilosophy. Remember how even when Yosef was sold by his brothers, the caravan was carrying fragrant spices instead of the usual awful smelling spices? So Hashem did this on purpose. Yosef shouldn't suffer even one drop more than was necessary for that whole story to happen. He needed to get to Mitzrayim, but why should he have to be enveloped by an unpleasant odor for hours or days until he got there? Perfumilosophy is my little way of remembering the Torah's philosophy that even in the worst situation, there is a part of it that can be compared to the perfumed spices on Yosef's journey to Mitzrayim. And taking note of that brings to Simcha even though. Back to Klal Yisrael in the Midbar with their miracles. Another question, why did Klal Yisrael need to travel and settle temporarily in so many places? Why did Hashem choose exactly those locations for them to pause their travels? The Ohr HaChaim HaKadosh teaches us here that there were nitzotzei hakadusha, holy sparks, in each place that they reached, and the Yidden needed to draw out these nitzotos. Says the Ohr HaChaim, the Yidden were drawing out nitzotos, like extracting them, in each place that they spent time. The way Rav Aryeh Carmel Zatzal explained it, there are holy sparks hidden all over the world. And when we do mitzvot, it's as though we rescue these hidden sparks and they can then return to their source in Shemayim. For example, if there is a nitzotz, a hidden holy spark, in a food that we eat, when we make a brach over it, we release that holy spark so that it can now return to Shemayim. There's a lot of Kabbalah involved here, and I don't claim to understand Kabbalah at all, but we can definitely try here. There are some ways that we can connect to nitzotzos with traveling. Let's say you're on a flight and the pilot suddenly lands the plane in North Carolina to refuel. It's possible that you, yes, you, needed to say one kind word to an unaffiliated Jew in that airport in North Carolina, and that your kind word released a holy spark. Let's say your husband gets transferred on short notice to a new community far away from your old friends. It's possible that you, yes, you, need to be the warm Jewish neighbor of a struggling family next door where holy sparks are trapped and await being freed. So Hashem leads you there because for some reason Hashem wants you to fulfill this mission, you and no one else. On this note, I'd like to segue into the idea that wherever we go, we have the opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem, which brings its own Kedusha to the world. In 1935, Rav Aaron Cutler traveled to Baltimore to visit his first cousin, Rav Ruderman, who was the Rosh Hashiva of Neri Yisrael in Baltimore. Rav Aaron spent 7 weeks in America collecting for his yeshiva in Kletsk in Europe. As we know, fundraising for one's yeshiva is extremely tiring, and someone approached Rav Ruderman, who was hosting Rav Cutler, somewhere in the middle of these 7 weeks with a legitimate question. How is it that Rav Aaron has to be away from his family for so long and struggles so much to gather funds for his chashuva yeshiva? And then there's this organization run by conservative Jews who just had a banquet dinner to raise money for some new building of theirs, and they collected $25,000 in a single evening. Remember, this was 1935. It was probably like bringing in $1 million today. Rav Ruderman answered, "When the Ari Miklat were built, the cities of refuge for anyone who had accidentally killed another Jew, Klal Yisrael was instructed to put up numerous signs with clear arrows pointing the person in the direction of the Ari Miklat, all the way there. On the other hand, when the Yidden traveled to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim during any of the Shalosh Regalim, they had to ask people directions every step of the way. There were no signs. So Rav Ruderman asked, why don't we make it easier for a Rotzeach to reach his destination than an Erlich HaYid going up to the Beis HaMikdash? You would think it would be the other way around. And he answered, because even though the fellow killed someone by accident, every time he asks directions, it's another Chal Hashem. Every time someone else is now aware that, a Yid killed another Yid. Even though it's a mistake, it's still not good. So to have Yidden asking Yidden which way to Yerushalayim or to the Beis HaMikdash is a Kiddush Hashem. Explained Rav Ruderman, Hashem doesn't want people talking about the project of those conservative Jews, so he gives them their money. 1, 2, 3, let's get this over with quickly. That's it, one night, it's over. Wherever Rav Aaron Cutler goes, he's talking about Torah learning, Hashem, Ruchnias. The more people he talks to along the way, the greater the Kiddush Hashem. So it takes a little longer. Hashem has to meet a lot more people. Rav Shimshon Pinkas, that's how, used to travel to America for weeks at a time to spread Torah in Yerushalayim, besides fundraising for his many projects in Eretz Yisrael. And he was known to say that when traveling, there are always delays and postponements and schedule changes, but he considered those times equally valuable for learning Torah and making a Kiddush Hashem. I heard an incredible story about a girl who was almost killed at the Nova Festival on October 7th, but was saved by a terrorist. You just have to hear it yourself. It's chilling. It's told by Ami Ben Sion to Rabbi Yoel Gold in a Moments video. But the part no one mentions is, who was the special neshama who inspired that girl to hold on to modesty even after throwing away everything else, including kashrus and Shabbos? Whoever that person was, her mother, a teacher, a neighbor, a friend, that person literally saved her life in advance. Who knows how far-reaching every action of ours is? To conclude, since nitzotos are hidden, and we regular people, we don't know where they are, let's just assume they're everywhere, and use every possible moment to draw them out, just by doing the right thing in each moment that Hashem puts in front of us. And remember that there is a special nigun just for the masaos, because throughout our journeys, Hashem is being kind to us, even if it doesn't seem that way. And if we're suffering too much to see any kindness, we can still sing, because we trust that it's there, and that one day we'll understand. Perfumilosophy reminds us that Hashem doesn't send us 1 ounce of suffering more than we absolutely need to endure. Just like our kids don't always grasp how deeply we care for them, especially when we tell them no or not yet, we don't always grasp how much Hashem loves us when He tells us no or not yet. Life is a journey with many, many stops. And sometimes we want to yell, stop the train, I want to get off. But you only get off at the last stop, at the end of the line. Until then, you may as well be friends with the conductor. Have a wonderful week.